morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for everyone joining us on Facebook. As I always ask, please make sure that you comment and let us know that you are watching. And we do appreciate you for following along and worshiping with us there. Thank you to everyone who either donated items or came out and spent some money at the youth yard sale yesterday. In whatever way you supported that, we appreciate the fact that you did. They had a good day. It was a great success. And we appreciate everything you have done to help get the teens to NYC, be it through those donations and through supporting the yard sale or grabbing the envelopes out in the foyer or whatever you have done to help support them. We do appreciate it. Choir practice will be today at 5 o'clock. Don't forget about that. I think it was in the newsletter, but Marcy's working on a special song. So if you can't be here at 5, show up at 5:30. If you want to give the choir a try, and she will be glad to put you to work on this new song. And you can see how you like it. And then, of course, evening worship at 6 o'clock like normal. Tonight, Missions has the service. We've had this in the newsletter. We will not be on Facebook Live tonight because we are having a movie night. We will be showing the Jesus film. So I want you this afternoon to be thinking about an exotic country that you've always wanted to go to and never quite made it. And then when you come in here tonight, you pretend like you were in whatever setting that is. If it's the jungle, if it's sitting on the Amazon River, if it's wherever, and we're going to imagine that that's where we're watching the Jesus film. So you've got to bring your imagination. But that is the plan. Because of its length, we're going to break it up into two sessions. And so now is the interactive portion of this session. So would you all want to continue the Jesus film, the second portion, this Wednesday night or next Sunday night? So if you would like to continue it this Wednesday night, raise your hand. Next Sunday night, raise your hand. All right, we'll do it next Sunday night. Thank you all for participating, the five of you who did. All right. So if you didn't vote, you can't complain because you didn't vote. So, all right. So we will do the Jesus film part one tonight. Pastor will have something for us Wednesday night, and then we will finish the Jesus film next Sunday night. That is something we have been talking about doing from Missions for a while now and have not been able to do that. So we look forward to having you here with us for that. This Wednesday evening will be the first time that we've had quote-unquote normal Wednesday evening services since Super Summer Something came to a close last Wednesday evening, and we had a great time with that this summer. Thank you for everyone who participated by showing up to show support, but by bringing food, leading a devotion, leading games. We had a great time with that, so thank you for your support. But this Wednesday evening we will still be meeting at 6 o'clock, so time is not changing. We're still meeting at 6 o'clock, but we'll be back to normal adult Bible study, teens, and children's worship. This Friday from 10 to noon, we will be having a special on surviving the loss of a spouse. And so that will be over in the conference room. So don't forget about that. And then on Friday in the afternoon from 1 to 3, we will be having divorce care. And so if you have any questions about either of those, please see Jane Montgomery, and she will be glad to answer any questions you have. She will be the facilitator for both of those, so please touch base with her. We have a massive bin out in the back corner of the foyer that is decorated up, and it says Fall Festival Candy on it. But if anybody was here for the Fall Festival last year, you remember that Pastor Tyler had to run to 15 different dollar stores because we ran out of candy. So we are collecting candy very, very early. But if you think we're collecting candy for our fall festival too early, go to a store and they will already have it out. They'll already have all the October stuff out, the pumpkins and the skulls and the ghosts and everything else. So please, as you're out and about, buy a bag or two of candy. We are looking to have a huge event this year, just as we did last year. And we need your support to continue to bring in this candy. No matter if you've already brought some in, bring some more in. But keep buying it and keep bringing it in, and we're looking forward to making Halloween and this fall festival a great time for a lot of kids. Mentioned earlier, we've got the NYC envelopes in the foyer that Pastor Tyler had mentioned several weeks ago, but please grab some of those if you have not had a chance. Put whatever amount of money in it you feel comfortable with. There is a dollar amount on the outside, but Pastor Tyler said you are more than welcome to put double or triple that amount in the envelope and bring back for the kids as they prepare to go to Tampa. So thank you for your support of that. Many other things in the newsletter that goes out each Friday. As I always say, if you are not receiving that, please let us know and we will make sure that you get it. And thank you all for being here. Thank you for your support of the church with your attendance and with your tithes. And the pastor has a few things to run by us.
The thing that I've noticed since, and I've been here going on in, almost 3 years. Can you believe that? Some of you think, I can't believe it's been that short. Some of you believing, I can't believe it's been that long. Only that long. But one of the things that God has blessed us and we've helped, and there are a lot of new faces around the church. And we're always glad to see new faces and new people. We're glad to have those who come and make Crossville First their home. And this morning, we want to welcome, and Jack and Sarah, would you stand, please? We want to welcome Jack and Sarah Deal. Yes. They are transferring their membership here from Fayetteville Church of the Nazarene, and we are in North Carolina. Thank you. And we are so glad to have them a part of the church, and they've already gotten involved and been a part of a lot of different things, and we just appreciate them so much. And we're glad that you're part of the church. May God bless you. May God bless you. This morning, how many of you have heard across the years that music is a very hot topic? It can be. One of the things that you want to do in picking music and all those kind of things, you want to appeal to both age groups, because we have young people, we have old people, and I am one of the old ones. You know, and we want to reach both groups. You want to sing hymns, you want to sing new songs. This morning we're actually going to be singing one new song. I think we have sang it once before, maybe, but we're going to be singing one new song and then two songs, one of them that I know that you know, it's a hymn of the church. We have been over the past few months looking for musicians to help us to begin the process of putting together a praise team and a praise band. And that has not come to pass. If you know somebody that plays the guitar, or if you know somebody that plays a bass guitar, tell them that we want them. How about that? One of the things that we did, that we have come across, is worship tracks. And it's a means by which we can mix live music as well as recorded music. And this morning, we're going to be doing all three songs by worship tracks. That is not to exclude our musicians, but we're going to do this. The board, we talked to the board about this a couple of months ago, so this is not something that is being sprung on them. But this morning, we're going to enjoy something a little different. And this is not, Tyler came in and said, you do this or I leave. We're doing this because we want to be able to reach to all age groups. That is why we are here. Talk to the kids this morning about why the church exists. And the church exists so that we can reach new people for Jesus. And so we want to be doing a lot of, we're going to be doing some different things. And if you say, well, I don't like that, maybe there's somebody else that does. Watch them and enjoy them getting blessed. Don't you like how I said that? And we're going to have a great time this morning as we worship together. In just a few minutes, we're going to have prayer time here around the altar. And Brother Jim Morris is going to be anointed this morning. And we're going to do that kind of in the middle of the service. But you stand. And Pastor Tyler and Susie is actually going to sing this morning. Now, yeah. May God bless you. It is so good to see each of you. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord.
Let's pray together before we sing. Father God, we thank you for this and other opportunity to gather in your house and worship you. God, I pray this morning that as we enter into this time of worship together, that you would meet with us in this place. That we would know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit has come and joined us this morning. God, this is not about us, but it's about you and our ability to engage you in worship. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that you would bless in the moments to come, and we'll be very careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thou art, thou my man.
next song we're going to sing, I don't know that I can let it roll through without saying a little something. So, anyway, this is a song that's very near and dear to me, and I know you guys have heard this story, most of you, but you're just going to have to endure it because I made God a promise a long time ago that I'd share it every chance I got. So, anyway, this song, it's very special to me because, as you know, our youngest daughter, Eliana, was born with a heart defect. And while we were spending some time in Nashville, I've told you this before, but I got pretty upset with God because I said, hey, listen, I made you a promise a long time ago. I'd serve you. I'd go anywhere you wanted me to do, go anywhere you wanted me to be anything you wanted me to be, do anything you wanted me to do, as long as you would give me healthy children. And in my mind, God didn't hold up that promise. And I got really upset about it and said, listen, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know who you think you are. And I don't know why you're putting me through this. And I was riding down the road one day listening to this song. And the chorus says, I'm thankful for the scars because without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. And I'll be just as honest as I can be. That did not sit well with me in the moment because I looked at God and I said, God, there will never, ever, 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 ever be a time when I'll be thankful for these scars. It's not going to happen. There's no reason she needed to go through this. There's no reason I needed to go through this. And I'm not going to be thankful for those scars. It was probably a few months later. We were home. We had come home with Ellie, and I one day was changing her diaper, and she was just sitting there on the changing table, and I got to looking at the scars on her chest, and it just kind of hit me, and I began to understand what it was that this song was saying. I'm thankful for the scars because without them I wouldn't know your heart. You know, there were days and nights where we didn't know if we were going to wake up the next morning and still have Eliana with us, but now looking back over those times, I can say God was faithful. I'm thankful for the scars because the scars tell two different kinds of stories. They tell a story of hurt. They tell a story of pain and heartbreak and all those other things, but now I can look back and know that those scars tell a story of healing. And that's what I want us to understand this morning. So sing this song with us as we worship the Lord.
To a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain, I wouldn't trade it for anything. My brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the stars, cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and I know they'll always tell of who. Standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness, and I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the stars. Without them, I wouldn't know your heart, and I know they'll always Just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. You are faithful.
And struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace, never once, no, we never walk alone. Did we ever walk alone? Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You
The Bible in the book of James tells us if any of us are sick, that we can call for the elders of the church and that they can anoint with oil. And the Bible says that it is the prayer of faith that will save the sick. It is not in the person doing the anointing. It is not in the oil itself. It is in the faithfulness of God and the faith of His people. We believe that and we practice that. And Jim has asked this morning that we anoint him. And Beth, if you will bring him up here. We're going to have all the elders. If you're an elder in our church, if you're an elder in another church, I want you to come up here and we're going to pray for Jim. And then we're going to ask the congregation, those that would like to gather around and touch those that that are nearby. If you can't touch Jim, we're going to pray and believe God to do that. Jack, come. Kent, come. Tyler, have I missed a pastor here this morning? Amen. I'm so thankful for Jim. Thankful for his faithfulness to the Lord, his faithfulness to the church. And Jim, this morning, we anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, believing God to touch and to help and to heal. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can come to you this morning knowing what your word tells us to do. It is not in something that we do. It's not in something that this oil does. It's not in something that a group of people gathered around does. But it is in the power and the presence of God moving through the prayer of faith this morning. And so, Lord, this morning we are believing you for the opportunity that we have to follow your word. And so, Lord, this morning we trust you. This morning we believe you. And this morning we thank you in advance for the healing that Jim's going to receive. In your precious name we pray. Pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, this song that I'm going to share with you this morning that says, the title of it is He Won't Leave You There. It's a song by Jason Crabb, but it's one that I really like because it talks about this idea. It says, I can't tell you why you're walking through this valley. I can't tell you how long the valley's going to last. But this is what I can tell you. When the darkness overwhelms you and the fears won't subside, the God that we serve is a God who promises not to leave us there.
Amen.
Even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the God that we serve is on our side and He's walking right beside us. And that's what it's all about. So just listen to the words of this song as I share with you this morning.
Tell you why you're walking through this valley, and I can't tell you just how long you've got to stay. I can't tell you why your heart feels so unsettled, or when this all would change. I can't tell you there's something you can lean on. It's a promise that won't bend and it won't break. It will keep you when the future isn't certain. You're not out of grace. When the darkness overwhelms you, just won't subside, when your questions outweigh answers on those long and lonely nights, then you gotta keep on moving. He is with you in the valley of despair. He won't leave you there. He's with you when you think you just won't. Right there, when it looks like hope is lost, you're gonna find out He's nothing less than faithful. So keep holding on, just keep holding on. When the darkness overwhelms you, when the fears just won't subside, when your questions outweigh answers on those long and lonely nights, friend, you've darkness overwhelms you, when the fear just won't subside, when your questions outweigh answers on those long and lonely nights. Friend, you gotta keep on moving, He's with you. When the darkness overwhelms you, when the fear just won't subside, your questions outweigh answers on those long and lonely nights. Friend, you gotta keep on moving, He is with you. In the valley of despair, He won't leave you there. He won't leave you there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Perhaps you've seen a theme as we've been running through the service this morning and the songs this morning. A whole lot of what we've talked about has to do with scars. A whole lot of what we've sung about has to do with scars. I want to speak to you this morning from Psalm 147, verse 3. Psalm 147, verse 3. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about grace and how God's grace moves in our hearts and in our lives. And this morning we're going to talk about healing grace. And as I said in my article that I wrote for the newsletter, and if you don't read the newsletter, shame on you. But we all have those things in our hearts and lives. One of the things that I've learned in 40 years of ministry, and for me to say that, boy, it makes me feel very, 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 very old. But it has been. This is August, isn't it? Oh my, 41 years now. All of these she put there. And I knew that was coming. But one thing that I have noticed across the years in 40 years of ministry is that nobody sails through life without any problems. Nobody sails through life without hurts. And more than likely, some of us probably have some hidden wounds, maybe some emotional scars, possibly that nobody else even knows about. But they are there, and they hurt. Another thing that I've learned is one of the reasons that sometimes we have these kinds of hurts is because of rejection. It may be rejection caused by parents. It may be rejection that has been caused by friends. It may be rejection that has been caused by someone that we love dearly. It may be by a spouse. It may be by a so-called friend. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that you can go through this. But I also know that some of us in this room this morning, probably because of something that was said on a playground 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, we still hurt. It's not easy to let some of those things go. Sometimes it's not easy to let those things go because of the person that said it to us, because we had the utmost confidence, we had the utmost trust in them, and then for them to say something like that to us, or then for them to do something like that to us, it's hard to get over. But I want you to know this morning that God's grace, God's healing grace, can heal the wounds in your heart and in your life. The psalmist said in Psalm 147, verse 3, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up his wound. Well, how does God do that? How does God heal the brokenness that maybe we find in ourselves? I think he does that really by changing our way of thinking. I think he sees the pain. He knows us better than anybody else, including ourselves. He knows us better than anybody else. I like the way the New Living Translation puts Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We've quoted it for so long, but let me read that last part of verse 2 from the New Living Translation, because there the Apostle Paul would say to us, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And if you and I are going to change our lives, if we're going to allow God to change our lives, then we're going to have to allow Him to change the way that we think. I want us this morning to see how God can change our minds, how God can renew our minds, how God can restore our minds, how God can heal our minds. I've said this over the past few weeks, and I really want to say it this morning. Somebody said, you know, Pastor, I appreciate the message, and I appreciate the compliments. I do. But please understand, I am living out this series of messages as we're going through it. As I've told you many times, you listen to it for about 30 minutes on Sunday morning. I listen to it all week long, sometimes longer. And if I were to stand before you this morning and tell you that I have not had hurts and I have not had those kinds of things happen in my life, I would be lying to you. So this morning I stand before you as a broken person trying to speak to broken people. Okay? You need to understand that. And so this morning I want us to see what God has to say to us through His Word. How that because of His grace, because of His grace, He can touch us, He can help us, He can heal us, He can do something in us that we desperately need to be done. The first thing that I want you to notice this morning is that the reason that God can heal us by His grace is because you and I are acceptable. This healing grace comes to us because we're acceptable, and that's a pretty good place to start. A lot of us spend our entire lives trying to be accepted by other people. Some of us have tried all of our lives to be accepted by parents, or we've tried to be accepted by our peers. We've even tried to be accepted by those who would classify us as enemies. We've tried to be accepted by strangers. Most of us don't really realize that a lot of times the things that drive us to do what we do is that we are wanting to be accepted by somebody who is around us. That's what happens with a lot of kids. That's what happens with a lot of adults. We can't just lay it off on the kids and say, well, it's peer pressure, because the adults feel it too. Amen. Good preaching, William. You know. People do crazy things to be accepted. People do all kinds of crazy things just to feel accepted by somebody. I mean, there might have been somebody on your street that dared you to do something. And in order for you to feel accepted by that person, you did it. And boy, when you got home, did you pay for it. My mom's watching. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, when he says that Christ has accepted us. There's no condition there. Did you get that? I mean, Christ accepts us just as we are. But I also want to say this. Christ loves us too much to leave us like we are. You know, you don't have to do all these things. Our salvation does not come by works. It comes because Jesus died on the cross. And because Jesus died on the cross, therefore, what He did makes us acceptable. And I know this gets into a little bit of an area that's going to make some of us very nervous, but the Bible also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that He chose us. Before the foundation of the world was laid, God made it available to those who would come to Him, that they could be accepted and they could be chosen, they could become part of what God was doing. I'm just going to tell you, many of you know, I was on crutches for 3 years. And so when I was on crutches for that long, you know, I didn't learn how to play the sports that most kids learn to play. I mean, between 9, 10, and 11, I was on crutches. And so when I finally got off crutches, I did find out one thing, that if you can't play kickball, you're not accepted. I'm still angry about it. How many of you remember, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you remember standing in that line against the wall because you were about to play dodgeball and the captain was picking team members and you just prayed out loud or maybe to yourself, oh God, let me not be chosen last. We can laugh about it now. It was not funny then. Some of us grew up with unpleasant parents. And it doesn't matter what we did, it was never going to be enough to please. If you got C's, they wanted B's. If you got B's, they wanted A's. And if you got A's, they wanted straight A's, you know. I will say this. Let me say this about Boyd and Marguerite Bonet. That was never an issue at our house. I say that because she's watching, but I'm also saying it because it's the truth. You know, there was all these expectations. And so what a lot of us do is we begin at that point in time to begin to equate how our earthly parents accepted us with how we think God, our Heavenly Father, is going to accept us. I know when you start talking about this thing, you can go down all kinds of crazy roads. Because people in our world are very crazy at times. And sometimes people do very silly things and very stupid things. And I know I'm not supposed to use that word in the pulpit, but right now it just fits. And some of you came to this church this morning not having a clue what I was going to preach on. But some of you came to this church this morning, and if you were to be very honest with me today, you would say, Pastor, I have never felt accepted. I have never felt accepted. I'm so glad to tell you that the psalmist says, Psalm 27, verse 10, even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Isn't that good news? God says, I accept you because I sent my son. I accept you because I love you. I accept you because, number two, we are not only acceptable, but we are also valuable. We're not valuable because of anything that we have. We are valuable because of His grace. We are valuable because He made us. I heard someone say, and I believe it to be true, He made us and God don't make no junk. And somebody in here needed to hear that this morning. I know the English isn't proper. I mean, you know, my daddy would get all over me if I said it like that. But God doesn't make junk. God understood who you are and what you would be. God understood all that before the foundation of the world was laid. And God looked at you and said, you are valuable. And you're valuable enough that I'm going to send my son to die for you. It's an amazing thing when you stop and think about it, that anyone would die for William. You see me on Sunday mornings and Wednesday, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and usually I look pretty good. Most of the time. Part of the time. But you don't know the things that William did years ago. Because if you did, you probably wouldn't be quite as accepting. You probably wouldn't be quite as kind. You probably wouldn't be quite as loving. But the good news is, I don't know what you did years ago. But this much I do know. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Someone might, for a good man, be willing to die. But God commends His love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do you place a value on somebody's head? I mean, in the Old West they did. You know, they had a value if you brought somebody. How do you place a value on somebody's head? Who in this room would we want to give up so that they could go and die for the rest of us? How do you place that kind of value on somebody's head? Would you look at somebody in this room other than family and say to them, I would die for that person? Could you look at the worst person in Crossville, Tennessee this morning and say with all honesty that you would be willing to die for that person? I'm not trying to put us on a guilt trip. I'm trying to help us see that Jesus thought that we were valuable enough
that He was willing to come and to die on a cross so that we might be forgiven of our sins. We are valuable to God. I saw a bumper sticker that says, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And He stretched out His arms and died. It's been interesting over the past year. If any of you have Zillow, Zillow can be a wonderful thing, or Zillow can be your worst enemy. We bought the house here in Cumberland County, and so for the past 3 years, I've been watching the value of that house. I mean, that's what you do. You want to know what it's worth, because you know if you were to want to sell it. But the problem with selling it is you got to find another place. And right now, that's top dollar, you know. Well, I've been watching that house as the value of it's been going up, and I was rejoicing over that. But about 2 months ago, it started going down. I've got some banks in my at home. They're in the garage. They're boxed up. Texaco banks. They were metal banks that Texaco used to put out. And some of you don't even know what Texaco is anymore, because it doesn't exist really. But I mean, well, they used to put out banks. And I bought the number one airplane when it came out. And it was worth, I paid $25 for it. Well, the thing went as high as $425. Do you know what it is worth now? $6.98. I paid $75. Don't look at me strange. I was really into these banks, okay? I paid $75 for a number 4 in the cars. Do you know what it is worth? $12.50. I found out a long time ago that something is only valuable if you can find somebody willing to give that much for it. Do you see where I'm going with this? You were valuable enough. You were valuable enough that the Son of the living God was willing to come and to lay down His life for you so that you could know Him, so that you could have fellowship with Him, so that you could have relationship with God. Isaiah 43:4 says, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Jesus came and died because you are valuable to Him. You are acceptable to Him. And the last thing is, I've said it over and over through this message this morning, you are loved. People who are brokenhearted because of things that have been said and things that have been done, that carry around the scars maybe that nobody else sees, they many times come to the point that they believe that they are not loved by men nor God. She would come down the aisle of the church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And Susie and I would get up and go pray with her Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And the thing that she would say is, how can God love me because of what I've done? And we would say basically the same thing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You are valuable to God. God loves you. God gave Himself for you. You are loved beyond anything that you can imagine. Isaiah 54:10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. Did you know this morning that there is not one thing that you can do that will cause God to stop loving you? Not one thing. He loves you. He cares about you. He gave Himself for you. The Good News Translation says that like this: the mountains and the hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. That doesn't mean that you're going to accept His love. But that means that He's going to continue to love you irregardless. God's love is consistent. God's not fickle like we are. And we are fickle people. Let's just go ahead and nod our heads, okay? How many times have you really felt like somebody was saying to you, well, I will love you if. I will love you if. I don't understand why God likes us, much less loves us. But He does. God's love is unconditional. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on our measuring up. There is no way that you and I as human beings can measure up. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not a person in this room has not messed up. The only person that never messed up was Jesus, and they crucified Him. But His love is unconditional. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You are loved more than you can even begin to imagine. You are loved beyond what you can even begin to believe. God's grace, His love, His mercy, they are extended to us. What an amazing thought. God says that in Christ, that we are acceptable, that we are valuable, that we are loved. And even when I don't feel loved, God still loves me. Even when you don't feel loved, God still loves you. His love is consistent. His love is unconditional. Conclusion. You stop and you think about it for a moment. And grace is amazing. In the newsletter this week, I said, if you remember, that that Amazing Grace is the most popular song in the United States. Right, and right behind it is How Great Thou Art. You know, and John Newton wrote this song back in the 1700s. He was a slave trader. There are those that say that Amazing Grace is written in the pentatonic scale. And if you were to go over here, if I were to have Susie go over here, you can play Amazing Grace on the black notes of the piano. That's the pentatonic scale. And there are those that say that it was written on the pentatonic scale. And most of the songs that the slaves sang are on the pentatonic scale. And many people believe that John Newton heard those slaves humming tunes or singing songs. And they believe that it probably, it says in your hymn book, that Amazing Grace is a traditional American tune. I don't know. I'm not trying to. They don't know where it came from. But perhaps on one of those voyages, John Newton heard a tune. And to that tune, he wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. He saw that he was valuable in God's sight. He saw that he was loved by God. He saw that he was accepted by God. And folks, I want to tell you this morning, some of you have scars. Some of you need God's healing grace today. Not because somebody came and told me something. Not because I somehow found out something. No, we don't need God's healing grace because somebody else knows. We need God's healing grace because we know. He doesn't want to leave you where you are. He doesn't want to leave you like you are. He wants to heal the brokenness of your soul. I read this week about Professor Fred Craddock, who was vacationing in Gatlinburg. And he and his wife were seated at a table when an old man came up and asked him, said, well, how are you doing? Are you having a good time? Are you on vacation? You know how Tennessee folks are. They just come up and talk to you. That didn't go over quite as well as I thought it would. And Professor Craddock said to the guy, said, yes, we're on vacation and we're having a great time. And the guy said to him, well, what do you do for a living? And Professor Craddock said, well, I'm professor of preaching at Emory University, Emory Theological Seminary. And the old guy said to him, oh, you're a preacher. And Dr. Craddock said, yes, I am. I teach preachers how to preach. And the old man pulled up a chair and sat down beside them, and he said, let me tell you a preacher story. And before Professor Craddock could get out of there, the old man was sitting there, and he said this. I'm going to read it so that I don't mess it up, okay? He said, I was born an illegitimate child. I never knew who my father was until later, and that was very hard for me. The boys at my school had names they called me, and they made fun of me all the time. And when I walked down the main street of our little town, I always felt that people were staring at me and asking me that terrible question. I wonder who the father is of that little boy. So I spent a lot of time by myself. Didn't have any friends. And one day a new preacher came to town, and everybody was talking about how good he was. I'd never gone to church before, but one Sunday I thought I'd go hear him preach. And he was a good preacher, so I kept going back. Each time I would go late and would leave early so I wouldn't have to talk to anyone else. And then one Sunday I got so caught up in that preacher's message that I forgot to leave. Before I knew what was happening, he had said the closing prayer and the service was over. I tried to get out of the church, but people had already filled the aisles and I couldn't get past them. Suddenly I felt a heavy hand on my shoulder. When I turned around, that big tall preacher was looking down at me and said, what's your name, boy? Whose family are you? Whose son are you? And when I heard that question, I just shook. But before I could say anything, he said, why, I know who your family is, and I know whose son you are. There's a distinct family resemblance. You are a child of God. He said, you know, Professor, those simple words changed my life. And the old man got up and left, and the waitress came over and asked, do you know who that was? To which Professor Craddock said, no, have no idea. And the young lady said, that's Ben Hooper, the former governor of the state of Tennessee. Can I tell you something? A lot of us don't know whose we are. A lot of us know what has happened to us, and we know the words that have been said. We know all the things that have gone on in our life, and we replay them over and over and over again in our mind, in the movie theater of our mind. And oh my goodness, sometimes it just gets worse and worse and worse the more that we view it. But can I tell you something this morning? You're acceptable. You're valuable. You are loved. And let me tell you one other thing. The kind of grace that makes us acceptable and valuable and loved is the kind of grace that can heal us. And it can help us. Because I've said it every time as we've closed out the services in these messages. Grace changes everything. And grace can change you this morning. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Thank you that because you died on the cross, we can be made acceptable in your sight. We come to you just as we are. And you love us too much to leave us as we are. You want to change us. And so, Lord, this morning, there might be one, there might be more that they simply need to come and to bow here in this altar and allow grace to heal them. It may be about something that's happened in their lives. It may be about something else, but they just simply need to come and allow grace to heal. I pray, Father, that you'd give us courage, because it's going to take courage to step out. It's going to take courage and boldness to come and to find the healing that we need. But just like that lady in the crowd that day that said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to press through the crowd. Help us not to think about what other people might think, but, oh God, may in this service this morning, someone who has hidden scars that nobody else sees, may they be healed, because they are accepted. They are valuable. They are loved. We thank you and we praise you. May you bless us now as we sing. And we thank you in advance for the healing that we receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing to her.
Just as I am.
Congregation to be seated this morning. We're going to pray with these who have come. If there's someone here who you love and you want to come and gather with them and you want to put your arm around them, just let them know that you're praying with them and praying for them. I believe God will bless you and God will help you. Let's remain reverent in our seats as we pray with these who have come.